Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Let's get into the Word with Chris.
Thank you. Let's get on into it since we are a little short on time. In January, I challenged myself to a new way of eating. I was going to cut out all man-made carbs, all preservatives. I was going to drink green juice for about 5 days a week. I had the best of intentions to make this happen. Well, within a few months, I was back to eating Doritos and certainly cut back on the juice. But, however, for the past 4 days, I have had juice, so which is good. So I have a question for you. How many of you started a diet or exercise program on January 1st, 2014? How many of you would raise your hand and be proud of this? Be like, I started something. I saw like partial hands. Be proud of it. I started something. Now, the real question we have is how many of you are still doing it? Because here we are almost to January 1st, 2015. And we would see that most people, I myself included, would realize that we started a program with the best of intentions on January 1st, 2014. And we all had these dreams of running on the beach during the summer with our bodies looking great, not being embarrassed with how we looked. We all had these dreams of running a 5K, a 10K, a half marathon, a full marathon at some point during the year. We had these dreams of eating vegetables and cutting out chips and carbs. And in your dreams, it tasted so good, didn't it? But we know the reality is that summer hit and you went out and bought the largest t-shirt you can find to wear to the beach because your body still wasn't where you wanted it to be. And your running career had stopped when you ran to the end of the street and felt like you're going to die. And eating those vegetables without the chips and carbs was the worst 4 days of your life, wasn't it? Everyone had the best of intentions on January 1st, 2014, didn't they? Everyone had this dream, this goal, this vision of who or what they wanted to be. But something happened for a good amount of us. We lost focus. We lost the drive. We forgot what the mission was. And here we are about to enter another holiday season where we tell ourselves it's okay to eat the cookies. It's okay to eat the pie. It's okay to put on 8 pounds because so is everyone else. And it's okay because come January 1st, 2015, my life is going to change. And we've become full circle. But I have a plan for you, though. I have a plan for you. I actually have an exercise slash weight loss system that's better than anything else that's on the market today. I've been thinking about writing a book or making a late night infomercial for this. Because I have the solution. The problem with all these weight loss programs and exercise routines is that we lose the vision so quickly. So I came up with the solution. Because we always ask ourselves, why am I doing this again? So I have this system. You want to know the secret to never losing your vision? Here it is. If you're taking notes, this is all you need for tonight. Here's how it works. It's called slow your roll. And so with slow your roll, you're running, you're doing your thing, you're on the treadmill, you're on a bike, whatever you're doing, and you get to that point where you're hitting the wall. You start slowing down. Hence the slow and the slow your roll process. Now what you do here, this is the most important part of the process. What you do here is you grab one of your rolls. Not the dinner roll that you have in your pocket for some reason, but you grab this bad boy right here. I'll show everyone, I'm proud of this. Slow your roll. You grab onto it. And I guarantee you, when you do this, you will not lose vision of who you want to be and why you were doing what you were doing. You could take that home and try it out. I promise you it works. Have you ever walked out of your room down the hallway, down the stairs, and you arrive in the living room, and you get this thought, you're like, I know I had a reason for being here. I was gonna do something. I was gonna watch TV. I was gonna say hi to someone. And we forget what, we're like, I have no idea what I'm doing here. I have no idea what's going on. There are times in our life when we seem to lose focus on what we're doing and what we set out to do. In the first place, we forget why we're on the mission in the first place. We forget the end goal. We end up losing the vision, the end goal that we had when we began our mission. Tonight, I want to talk about this, the mission for the vision, where we are headed or supposed to be headed as followers of Jesus. We will see that some of us have gotten off track. Some of us have stalled. Some of us have no idea what we're supposed to be doing. But my heart tonight, my goal is that we all get focused on the mission for the vision. As Christians and followers of Jesus, we need clarity on where we're going. Do you sometimes feel like your direction as a Christian isn't clear? You forgot why you're doing what you're doing in the first place? You're not sure where you're supposed to be going? We've got to have vision because it's easy to coast through life. And when we start coasting, there's no direction. And before you know, our lives have become an aimless state of wandering. In 1951, Florence Chadwick, she attempted to swim from the Catalina coast to the California coast. After being in the water for many hours, dense fog had rolled in. After being in the water for 15 hours, she could no longer see anything, and she decided to call it quits. She found out that she was half a mile from the shoreline after calling it quits because she couldn't see. What Florence needed was vision. She needed to see the end goal where she was supposed to make it. Now, she eventually attempted it again, and she successfully made it. But I want you to know this, that we need to make it our mission to have a vision so that we don't lose sight of the goal. We need to look forward and challenge ourselves to never stop seeking what is eternal. As Christians, us in this room, we have a mission. The goal has been set, and we need to set our eyes on an eternal vision. And tonight, I want to talk about having the mission for the vision. If you guys have your Bibles, please turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. And here's what Philippians 3, 12 says. In case you're not there, you can just listen along. This is Paul talking. And he says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And so you have to know what's going on with Paul right now and where Paul had been. Paul was writing from jail, and he was writing to Philippi. And Paul's first encounter with the people of Philippi was mentioned in Acts, where he led a group of women to Christ. Then he cast out a demon out of a slave girl. And then he was beat up and put into prison for the things that he had just done and eventually asked to leave by the magistrates. We know that Paul was, again, eventually put into prison when he wrote this letter. He was awaiting trial in Rome. But I want you to know Paul's heart while he was there. This is so important. His heart was full of joy. His words that we have read, full of encouragement, and his mission was focused on the vision of eternity. One of the first things that we read here is that Paul says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected." You see, we have to look at what Paul has gone through, what Paul has done at this point in his life. Paul, as you once know, was once known as Saul. And Saul was a really bad guy. He actually killed Christians and tortured them. And we know that he had this conversion. And we could look at that and we could say, "Wow, Paul, you made a full 180 change. Like, this is amazing in your life that you went from killing Christians to being one and to proclaiming the gospel and telling people all these things. The Lord has done great things." Or we could look at the fact that Paul had just traveled through two different continents preaching the gospel. We can look at that and think, "Paul, your life has been lived. You have done it all. The Lord has done the greatest things in your life." But we look at what Paul says. He says, "Not that I have already attained, nor I'm already perfected." You see, in Paul's mind, he knew that the Lord had done great things, but he also knew that the Lord was going to do even greater things. And for Paul, the work had just begun. It wasn't over. He said, "There's still so much to do." That's why he said, "I have not attained or am already perfected." And so I look at Paul's spiritual life, and then I look at my spiritual life, and I think about how many times God has seen me through some dark seasons. He's brought me through so many things, and I can say, "You know, God, you've done some amazing things in my life. You've drawn me closer to you. How could it get any better?" And what I end up doing is I put myself in this spiritual plateau. Like, this is it. This is as good as it gets. But we have got to be like Paul. If we want to have a mission for the vision, we've got to look at his attitude and start making that part of our own attitude, that we have not already attained, we have not perfected. And then Paul brings up this wording after that. He says, "But I press on." I press on. I love those words so much. They're motivating. Paul was getting people fired up. He was telling them the mission. He was challenging them. And this was a challenge. It was something to keep him going and to keep others going. One of my favorite movie series is Rocky. You know, Sylvester, I call him Rambo Stallone. And so I love all the Rocky movies. In Rocky 2, his wife gets sick and his wife goes into a coma and she's there and he's supposed to be training for the big fight, you know, but he's there at his wife's side. He's talking to her, reading books to her. And she finally wakes up and they're talking and there's a scene where she looks deep into his eyes and she says, "Hey, there's one thing I want you to do." And he says, "What?" And she says, "Win. I want you to win." And then all of a sudden the Rocky theme music starts pumping and you just want to go to the gym because you're just like stoked on what you're seeing. And so you're motivated. And so Rocky was like told like to press on. Go, do it, win. And I look at these words and Paul's like, press on. Don't stop, win. We've got to be challenging ourselves to press on. When we challenge ourselves, we give ourselves a mission, an objective. We're motivated. We have something to do and accomplish. And the reason for this, that we have to challenge ourselves, is because too often spiritual stagnation takes place because we forget to press on. And we can't allow ourselves to be satisfied with where we're at spiritually. We've got to keep on going. So then Paul says, he says, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Paul says he does not count himself to have apprehended. What he was talking about was that he doesn't consider himself to receive all that he could have from God. There was so much more, and Paul didn't want to stop. His mission was for something greater, for a bigger vision that was on his mind. Again, we could look at what Paul had done in the name of the Lord, and we could say, Paul, you've done a lot. You've done a lot, my brother. But for us, we've got to take on his attitude once again and see that Jesus has so much more for us. There's so much more. Paul said, there's more out there. We have not spiritually peaked, and there's still so much to experience with the King. You see, Paul knew that there was so much more to grasp, so much more to attain, so much more to experience. And so I started thinking about what I like to experience, what I like to do. My favorite thing to do in the world, other than and being with God, and I get to be with God when I do this, is hike. That's my favorite thing to do. I love to get a backpack and just go. I love to be in his creation. My favorite place to hike is in Zion in Utah, and specifically this trail called the Narrows. And the Narrows is a 16-mile river trail where canyon walls go up hundreds of feet on either side, and you start going, and it doesn't even start out as a river. It starts out as groundwater coming up out of the grass, and you see it. And then it slowly builds, and you slowly start to see these walls go up. But what I really love about that is the mystery of what's around the bend, because you get these canyon walls, and you can only see so far ahead because the river bends and the canyon bends, and you can only see so much, and you start wondering, like, what's the mystery? It's exciting. What does it look like around that bend? And I think for Paul, he was like, what does it look like around that bend? What is the Lord going to do next? It wasn't time to stop or slow down because the mystery was exciting. And Paul understood this, and we need to understand that too, that the mystery is exciting. And we read on. Paul says, I do not count myself to have apprehended. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You see, Paul knew this secret. He knew the secret. Paul was motivated. He was motivating the church of Philippians. He had encouraged them to have a mission, to have heart, to have a challenge, and he also knew the secret to making it a success, unlike our January 1st diets. You see, Paul knew. He said, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. There's a reason for this, and I truly feel this is a secret of Paul's, and it holds a lot of wisdom for having a mission for the vision. And there's two parts to the secret. The first part is that the past can cloud our future. We as humans, we naturally love the past. We love to reminisce. We love nostalgia. We love getting together with our friends and talking about how it used to be. The old family stories. We love that stuff. But the problem is that sometimes we get wrapped up in the past and the future gets clouded. One of my Facebook friends yesterday, she posted this. She said, don't look back. You aren't going that way. I was like, wow, you know, that's like what Paul is talking about here. This is good. And so I thought this was pretty powerful. It's the same mentality that Paul had. And I think about like rock climbing. Now, I've never done any outdoor rock climbing because me and heights don't really get along. I think that's why God made me 5'6", because he knew that we don't get along. And so I've done indoor rock climbing though, and I really enjoy it. Now, the thing I apply what Paul said to indoor rock climbing. I don't look down because I'm not afraid of how far I've gone, but I look down because I could think, wow, I've gone this far. I've accomplished these things. I can go back. Yeah, the top's up there, but I've done well, and so I could return. And so what happens is the past has clouded my future, the vision for the future. And I think, well, this was good enough for me. We sometimes look at what God has gotten us through, where God has taken us. And we look at the spiritual climb that we have had and the spiritual growth and the maturity that we've had over the years. And we can look at that and say, well, that was good. I can return. That was enough. But when you look at Paul's life, he was a man who didn't look behind him, I think for a couple of reasons. Not only because he didn't want the future to get cloudy, but also because you have to look at where he was. He was a man who killed Christians, who tortured them. And at night, he can go ahead and really focus on how bad of a guy he was. And those faces of those that he tortured could haunt him. They can creep into his mind. But he said, no, the secret. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. The secret. Because Paul knew that things can creep into your mind. And you start to really ask yourself, well, that was a great season of life that I just had. Everything was so good. I'm going to keep it at that. The thing is that you can't grow as a person. You can't mature as a person. Only God can do that in you. And the thing is that God wants to do so much more in you. So don't look back. But Paul said he forgets those things which are behind. And the second part of the secret is he says he reaches forward to those things that are ahead. And this is the second part of the secret here. Paul's interest in that mystery of what's around the bend didn't end with just curiosity. He could have just wondered, well, I wonder what God's going to do, and I'll just wonder that till the day that I die. Paul made sure that he went around that bend. He kept going, and when he saw that what was the picture was, he kept going to the next bend, and the next bend, and the next bend. And I want to spiritually challenge us, including myself, and ask ourselves this question: are we reaching forward spiritually? Are we reaching forward spiritually? Are we walking toward what's around the bend? Because if we aren't, then let's start expecting danger to come our way. Because spiritual stagnation is dangerous. And Paul knew this. That's why he said, let's reach for what's forward. You think about where Paul was. He knew what it was like to live without the Spirit. And he knew, I cannot return to those ways, so I'm going to keep reaching forward for what God has for me. Before I was hiking the Narrows, my first time there in Zion, you have to watch this video on the danger of flash floods, and they tell you what to do if you can prepare for them. Usually you have little to no time of preparation, but if you do have time to prepare, the worst possible thing you can do is stand still. You've got to get moving, walk forward, get somewhere that's safe. Now, the mission for the vision includes reaching forward, moving towards something greater. Here's what that something greater is. It's something eternal, and we see Paul start to talk about this. In verse 14, Paul says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Again, we see Paul use the wording of press on. He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was saying that he challenges himself to go toward the goal to get the prize. Now, what's the prize? It's something greater. It's the eternal things. It's setting your eyes on eternity. That's the vision. And Paul knew of these eternal things. And often we think of eternity in our minds as this heavenly place with just us and God, and we say, that's what eternity is. But the thing is I don't think that's what Paul was talking about. I think what Paul was talking about was eternity kind of began. It began today or yesterday or whatever the time was. And there's two cases here that I believe Paul was talking about when it comes to eternity. The first case, to be Christ-like. The vision to make this his goal, the prize, to be like Jesus. To not be Jesus, but to be like Jesus. To have that heart. And we can ask ourselves this, because this starts today. This isn't, just because it's an eternal thing, doesn't mean it doesn't start when we die. It starts today. We can ask ourselves, am I advancing toward the vision? Am I on the mission for the vision to strive to have more of the heart for Jesus? And I believe that for Paul, this was an everyday question. That he challenged himself, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? It was an eternal thing. The second case of eternal things is to spread the gospel. The last command that we see from Jesus, he says, go into all the world, spread the gospel to every creation. Again, an eternal thing, and we must press on, challenge ourselves to make this the vision, setting our vision on eternity. And this starts today, friends. Because you're not going to get to God and say, oh God, I'm ready to spread the gospel. He's going to say, you were supposed to do that already. It doesn't start now. It was supposed to start already. This is the thing of eternity that starts today. And for us, the question is, are we challenging ourselves to receive the eternal prize? Because the world that we touch with the gospel today will be forever changed. The eternal things start today. Now, if you're like me and you're hearing this, you might be saying to yourself, you know, it's not every day I press toward this goal. It's not every day I have the mission for the vision. And you might be asking yourself, well, why? I'm a follower of Jesus. I love the Lord. Why don't I have the same thing that Paul had? Well, the answer is easy. It's that we must not be asking ourselves, why don't we have that? We need to be asking ourselves, where is my vision cast? Where are my eyes focused on? Because where your eyes are focused, that's what your mission becomes. You end up doing everything in your power to make your mission a reality in your life. Where your eyes are cast, that's where your mission becomes. You might be on the wrong mission because you're like me and sometimes you have the wrong vision. We've got to be like Paul, once again, and set our vision on eternity so that we can live out those eternal things, the things that matter, the things that are forever. Paul kept going. He pressed on because his vision was cast on what was eternal. It was cast on a never-ending job. Until the eternal things are grasped, why stop? Why stop? How do you know when it's time to stop? How do you know when you finished? Well, let's look at our character. We don't need to pick on you. We'll pick on me today. Let's look at my character. When was the last time I got mad, like beyond furious? I'll be honest with you, Saturday. I'm being totally transparent here. When was the last time I didn't want to lay down my pride? About 24 hours ago. When was the last time I had a hard time showing compassion to somebody? Monday. And these are just three things. How do we know when it's time to stop pressing on? When our character is Christ-like. And let me tell you this, that's going to take an eternity. We need to start today. The eternal things are not grasped, so why stop? The other question, how do we know when to stop? Well, where has the gospel gone? Have we taken it to the world that we know of? And I'm not just talking about going to Africa because you have the means of going there. That's a great thing. But Paul was taking it to the world that he knew of. Everybody he encountered, he was spreading the gospel. And I think about me and us. What that world is, that's our workplace. That's our circle of friends. Those are our neighbors. That's our family. That's the world that we know of. And until the gospel has been spread to those worlds, why stop? The eternal things are not grasped, so press on. Move forward. You know, for Paul, I don't think he was just waking up another day in a jail, another day of traveling. Tomorrow wasn't just another day for Paul. It was a challenge. It was a call for something greater, to set his vision on something eternal. And for us, all of us here, we're not waking up tomorrow to Thursday morning. We're not waking up to another day full of life's challenges. We're getting up with a certain challenge, with the challenge, with the call to press on, with the mission for the vision. We're waking up tomorrow to keep running, to keep going, to keep making our character better, to keep spreading the gospel to our worlds. That's what we're waking up tomorrow to do. What motivated Paul? What kept him doing these things? It was Jesus. It was Jesus. He knew Jesus was the mastermind behind all the visions of the unsaved. He knew Jesus was the mastermind behind all the things that he wanted him to do. And Paul's desire was to do all this for Jesus. Now I'm going to close right here, and I want us all to really think about this. I'm going to close with a question. The question is, we need to have a mission for the vision. Will you press on tomorrow for the vision of the eternal things? Let's pray. Lord, I come before you. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that you've given us a call, a job for something great. Lord, help us to see what that is. Help us to cast our eyes on the greater eternal vision, or the greater things. Help us to have that heart that your son had. Help us to have the attitude that Paul had. Help us to keep pressing on and moving forward. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.